This is Sharon Grant for the Olmo Variety Hour. And as this is Women's History Month, I'll be reading excerpts from How Black Feminists Define Abortion Rights, : As liberation movements bloomed, they offered a vision of reproductive justice that was about equality, not just choice. It's by Kianga Yamada Taylor, printed in the February 22, 2022 New Yorker magazine. Taylor begins this way. It will probably be months before the Supreme Court decides in Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization whether to overturn Roe v. Wade, the landmark 1973 Supreme Court decision that affirmed the constitutional right to abortion. But in this latest round of attacks on Roe, a novel line of argument has emerged, contending that forced pregnancy and parenthood no longer constitute a hardship for women. Lawyers representing Mississippi, the appellant in the lawsuit, describe a world that has fundamentally changed over the past 50 years, in which the burdens of parenting have been lifted and women have been empowered to have it all, to assume a career while still raising families. In an interview with a local television station, the Mississippi Attorney General Lynn Fitch added, quote, 50 years ago for professional women, they wanted you to make a choice. Now you don't have to. Now you have the opportunity to be whatever you want to be. You have the option in life to really achieve your dreams, your goals, and you can have those beautiful children as well, unquote. That Dobbs originates in Mississippi, the poorest state in the country, twists this fairy tale into a cruel joke. In Mississippi, nearly half of women-led households live in poverty, almost twice the national average. 12% of women in the state lack health insurance, compared with 8% nationally. And because this case is no longer just about Mississippi, it also ignores the fact that Black women are 3 to 4 times more at risk of dying in childbirth than white women. For poor and working class women, a disproportionate number of whom are Black and brown, overturning Roe won't mean that abortions will end. It will mean that safe and sound abortions in healthcare facilities will move further out of reach. One study found that 80% of deaths caused by septic abortions in New York City in the 1960s involved Black and Puerto Rican women. In Georgia, between 1965 and 1967, the Black maternal death rate was 14 times that of white women. In Roe, the Supreme Court claimed to want to make a dispassionate decision, one not influenced by the larger debates concerning abortion. Quote, population growth, pollution, poverty, and racial overtones tend to complicate and not to simplify the problem, end quote, Justice Blackmun wrote. In this way, the court's decision reflected the narrowness of the mainstream women's movement, which viewed abortion as the singular way to measure women's rights to control their reproductive lives. Black, Puerto Rican, and Chicana women had different constraints and burdens in their daily lives that meant they would have different approaches to achieving liberation. The chasm between middle-class white women's demands and aspirations and those of poor and working-class women of color began to be addressed by the emergence of Black feminists in the late 60s. These women, who included Toni Cade Bambara, Frances Beale, Alice Walker, and Barbara Smith, argued that real equality could be achieved only by expanding the parameters of what constituted reproductive justice to include the entire context within which decisions about having or not having children were made. For Black feminists, many of whom had become radicalized through their involvement in the civil rights movement, the persistent racism and sexism that they experienced compelled them to question the totality of American society, not just their place in it. In 1969, Frances Beale penned one of the pioneering documents of Black feminism, a pamphlet titled Double Jeopardy, to be Black and Female. Beale wrote, quote, it is idle dreaming to think of Black women simply caring for their homes and children like the middle-class white model. Most Black women have to work to help house, feed, and clothe their families. By the time Beale wrote Double Jeopardy, she and several other Black women in the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, or SNCC, were leaving the group because of increasingly divergent ideas about the role of women in the Black movement. As Beale wrote, quote, "To assign women the role of housekeeper and mother while men go forth into battle is a highly questionable doctrine for a revolutionary to maintain. Those who consider themselves to be revolutionary must begin to deal with other revolutionaries as equals. And so far as I know, revolutionaries are not determined by sex," end quote. This was more than a debate over the women in radical politics. Beale and her women comrades were chafing against the influence of Daniel Patrick Moynihan's 1965 report on the state of the Black family. Quote, "At the center of the tangle of pathology is the weakness of the family structure. Once or twice removed, it will be found to be the principal source of most of the aberrant, inadequate, or antisocial behavior that did not establish, but now serves to perpetuate the cycle of poverty and deprivation," end quote. In a speech a year after this report was published, the SNCC leader Stokely Carmichael said, quote, "To set the record straight, the reason we are in a bag we are in isn't because of my mama, it's because of what they did to my mama. We have to put the blame where it belongs," end quote. For Beale and other Black feminists, reproductive freedom, including access to birth control and abortion, and the right to have children on their terms, was the most basic element of self-determination in a society where their choices were heavily circumscribed by racism, gender, and class position. As a result, Black women activists not only took up the immediate questions concerning reproduction, but they also raised issues about childcare, employment, welfare, and the other material necessities that could help women take care of their children and choose to bring them into the world. By focusing on the plight of poor women, they made it easier to see that the struggle for abortion and reproductive freedom was about equality, not just privacy or even choice. Their insights into the ways that poverty and other forms of oppression limited their life chances compelled them to demand reproductive justice. It's a standard that certainly was not achieved with Roe, but is needed now more than ever. This is Sharon Grant for the Old Mole Variety Hour, reading excerpts from the article, How Black Feminists Defined Abortion Rights, printed in the February 22nd, 2022 New Yorker magazine.